Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
I'm really kind of prefacing this morning as Pastor Minnie did the circle up. It was a kind of a heavy message. And today, what I would ask you to do is we're starting a new series called Take Back the City. And I would ask you today to kind of press into what I'm about to say. Don't shut off, because this is not going to be a completely easy message to listen to. Sometimes you have to be able to present things to that God puts a mandate on us to present things to people. But we talk about, you know, take back the city, and now we're Our City Church. I'm having a hard time getting away from big church, but now we're Our City Church, and our theme is to love Louisville back to life. And, you know, we don't want this just to be a bunch of inspiring sermons. We don't want this to be another slogan or a series or a message or a good idea. Can I tell you what we really need right now in the world that we live in today? We need a movement. We need a movement of God. We don't need to just be talking about all the cute little stuff anymore. We need God to do something in our church, in our city, in our nation, and all around. The title of this message is, It's Our Move. Can I just tell y'all one thing right now? God is moving in other countries so powerfully right now. They're showing... I watched some videos of people walking for 8 to 9 miles just so they could get to a place to worship. That's walking there, y'all. It was lined up forever. You can see people just trying to get into this place. They're hiding in caves and are limiting them now to people that can come into these caves because they don't want to get caught because of fear of being persecuted. Can I tell you what? It's about time that we get away from our, it's raining today and I can't make it to church. Oh my gosh, it's too hot and I don't know if I can make it there or not. Or my kids are crying. They are busting the doors. And you know what? As God sees, when God sees hunger and when he sees desperation, when he sees I want a move of God, he is right there to do that. This morning, I think that we've got to, as a church body, we've got to pull away from what we want and to do what God wants us to do. You know what? They're fearful, but they're doing it anyway. What if they said you could not have church here next Sunday? Listen, oh, I ain't getting into COVID. But what if they said we have to shut our doors? What if they said that you, if you get cut, would you make that? These people are making those choices, and they're doing that on a daily, sometimes daily basis. They're making those choices. You were asking why God's not moving. Could it be that the church today, and I'm saying the capital C church all the way around, maybe not big church, maybe not Our City Church. But could it be that we're not seeing the movement of God because we're too comfortable? Yes. We are relaxed. We are at ease instead of at attention. Yeah. Come on. I think sometimes as the church, we're AWOL in the face of the war that we're in. As she said earlier, Ephesians says, we're not in a war with each other. We're not in a war with political parties. We're in a war between flesh and not of flesh and blood, but of spiritual powers that are ruling over the world right now that we're in. That's the world we're in. Could it be that we're too complacent? We're satisfied. We're content. We really don't want things to change because it's always been that way. Come on, we went through a change series on that. And it's really been kind of a little bit eye-opening that there's some things in my life that just need to change. And she's sitting there nodding her head, yes, there's a ton of stuff in your life that needs to be changed. But sometimes we get so used to the status quo in the church that we don't want to get outside of the box, that we don't want to do anything. We don't want to give the Holy Spirit any room to move because it's always been the way that we wanted it to be. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you a little bit later, but God is doing something different right now. He's doing something in the world differently right now. What else could he not be moved? Could he be just too lazy, unwilling to work, or a lack of effort or activity? You know, so many times it's just... Let's read the Bible. Hebrews 6:12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. The Bible says faith without works is what?
Dead.
We are waiting on a move of God, and God is waiting on a move of us. Come on, they've been talking about revivals and religion, and you know, it used to be a revival. You put a thing up on the board, and 7 days we're gonna. I used to love preaching because I could bring the hellfire and brimstone for 5 days, and I got to leave. So that's why y'all don't get hellfire and brimstone every week. But we've become wanting God to do something, and God is like, man, I wish that we could go in this vein. I so wish that you would listen to where I'm going in this vein. God is waiting for a move of us. And we sat, listen, can I just tell you something? We as the church have sat on the sidelines too long. We've become spectators instead of initiators. We've become sitting back, well, somebody will do it. Can I tell you one thing? If it doesn't happen here, it's going to do. He's going to find somewhere to pour out his spirit. He's going to find somewhere to pour out the thing that he wants to do in the life. How many of y'all want revival? How many of y'all even know what revival is? Revival, we want a move of God. We want signs. We want miracles. We want wonders. And listen, used to be we sang songs, show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. I just want to see your, y'all remember those songs? I want to see your face. But we look at Exodus 33:11. It says, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friends. Oh, I want that. I want that. Do you really want that? Because in verse 1 of Exodus, it started on the backside of the desert. Come on. It started in isolation. It started in a place where only him and Moses were. So we want all that stuff, but we want the glory without the wilderness. Come on, we want to see his face without ever praying. Oh, come on. 40 years he was in the wilderness. You know why? Because it took 40 years to get Egypt out of him. Come on, y'all don't even know that story. We might be talking about that story in a few weeks. Hey, it took 40 years to get the Egypt out of Moses. We don't want it to cost us 40 minutes sometimes. I know, y'all, the first time you're here, you're in trouble. He had to get the old way of thinking out of Moses so he could start doing something. You know why? Because there was a revival that Moses was about to start with the children of Israel and taking them on a journey that they needed to go on into the promised land. We say, your kingdom come, your will be done. But a lot of times we say that, but he's not really on the throne of our lives. We're still sitting on the throne. We're letting him do the little things around him we want to. But when he starts to want to do the awesome things that we need to do, we're still sitting up there, perched up there and saying, I'm in control. When you want to see God move is when you move, when you take your rightful place at his feet, when you take your rightful place at another part of where God is going to do something in your life when you put him on the throne. It's us. It's up to us. Can I just tell y'all something? There ain't nobody else coming. Used to be in war, you know, you'd say, well, okay, the troops are coming. We are the troops. We are the army of God. We are the people that are going to cause a revival to happen. So that's why he really wants us to start moving and getting to a place where we're listening to him. But listen, you can't lead where you've never been. And sometimes taking back the city, sometimes taking back thing is a personal. When I was going over this message this week, it was a personal inventory. So you might ask, we as the church, where do we start? What do we do? What's our strategies and what's our methods? Well, let's look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is so good. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Is a small word, but it means a lot. It's a conditional clause. God's love is unconditional. But obedience is not optional. I'm going to say that again for those in the back row that are asleep. God's love is unconditional, but obedience is not optional. Who's he talking to? He's not talking to the world. He said, my people, us, not the world. What we do is we pass judgment on the world when the world acts like the world. Listen, there's some craziness going out in this world right now. And the stuff on the music videos and all the stuff that you see right there, and Christians are coming to, oh my gosh, I can't. They're heathens. They don't know any better. I mean, why are we surprised when the world acts like the world? We need to start praying for the world. We need to start, instead of bashing them all the time, we need to start saying, God, right now we need you to move. I plead the blood of Jesus over my city. I plead the blood of Jesus over the music industry. I plead the blood of Jesus over Hollywood. I plead the blood of Jesus. Come on, when we start shifting, we start changing our perspective, that's when things change. This is talking about us. It's talking about humble. Humility in this culture we live in is a bad word. Pride is what we're all. We're not going to be humble. We're not going to lower ourselves. As she said earlier, Jesus came to be a servant. He showed us. Pride comes before the fall, and the Bible says God opposes the pride, but he shows favor to the humble. It's not about us. It's not about our city church. It's not about a denomination. It's not about a certain group of people. It's about all of us who call ourselves Jesus followers and Christians. James 4:10 says this, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. You want to get elevated in anything? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord, he will lift you up. So many times we're trying to climb the ladder. We're trying to get ahead. We're trying to jump over top of somebody else. And God said, if you'll just take a back seat, if you'll just. Come on, that's not what the world teaches right now. We got to get to the top no matter what. We got to crawl over everybody. We got a dog eat dog world. But that's not what the Bible says. We have to lower ourselves. It's not about us. It's a position to receive. Here's a quote. God is attracted to those to weakness. He can't resist those who humbly and honestly admit how desperately they need him. Our weakness, in fact, makes room for his power. He's ready for us to give it up. Just say, okay, I give up, God. I've been trying this. I've been doing this for so long. That's when he says, finally, I can get to the place where I can do something in your life. What is it else to say? It says to pray and seek. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Repeat. Keep doing. Keep asking. Keep seeking and keep asking God and keep seeking and keep asking God. If you haven't seen the answer to your prayer, so many times you might be one prayer away. You might be one seek away. You might be one step away from God doing that thing that you've been asking him to do. So many times, listen, I'm guilty. I give up on the very edge. Man, God's like, man, if you would have took one more step. We almost didn't do this church because of me. Because I was afraid to step. But when you have a strong woman behind you that sticks a foot up your butt most of the time, who makes you take a step sometimes when you don't want to take a step. Thank you, baby. I appreciate that too. But that's why we are good together, because she has to get on me. She has to make me take that next step because sometimes I don't want to. Here's number three. Here's the one that's going to get us. You have to turn from our sin. We have to turn, the Bible says, from our wicked ways. And we start talking about that word sin. You can scroll and you can look on YouTube and you don't see a lot of messages anymore about sin much. Used to be when I went to church, I mean, when I grew up in church 8 days a week, they talked about sin every Sunday and you were going to hell every Sunday. Now, I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, but you did hear about sin and the consequences of it. But listen what sin is. This is what some people get a little misconstrued about. James 4:17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him that's sin. That could be different for you than someone else. But if you know not to do it, and you know your moral compass is saying that is not where I need. Come on, some of y'all tried, like me, you tried to run away from God and he tapped you on the shoulders. He punched you in the head. He got everything he could to get your attention back. And you knew you were not in the right position and God kept going after you. You know what? There is a, this world is upside down, y'all. I mean, right is wrong and wrong is right. I mean, it's just sometimes I just read things and I think, how in the world can we think that? But that's what the Bible says. The end, towards the end of the time, we're going to have people thinking they're doing the right thing and they're doing the wrong thing. We all have conviction. And just because it seems like you can't overcome it or you give into it or you ignore it or you harden your heart, that does not still make it right. Whew. Turning means not returning. That's good. Turning means not returning. It's not 360. It's a 180. You know, if you, I'm going to try this. Wow. White men can't jump. But I mean, I'm in the same place that I started, right? But if I do a 180, I'm going in a totally different direction. And so many times we turn from our sin, but we turn, oh, wow, I'm back where I started from. Oh, that's a whole nother good message right there. But our actions determine God's movement. If we're humble, if we pray, and if we seek him, and we turn and we repent from our wicked ways, here's what happens at 14. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. We want to take back our city? This is the prescription for it right here. God hears us when we're in the right position. Sin and neglect and compromise and complacency have moved us out of position. Can I tell y'all something? The Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is still speaking. He is still the same God as he was back ever 1,000 years ago. But the world is screaming. But let me tell you what else. God is whispering. The world is banging a gong right now, and God is barely tapping on you. You want to hear and be heard? You have to change your position. Where you are determines what you're going to hear. Oh, my wife has a hearing problem of things that I say. She says that I mumble. It is not the truth. But I, after about the fourth or fifth time of, I think she does have a little bit of a hearing problem for real. After about the fourth or fifth time of repeating myself, then she would say, you have a tone. I said, I've said this twice. And then I get, y'all married husbands, y'all know what I'm talking about. That you go up to say, I said that we are going to the store. Anyway, I love you, babe. But can I tell you, the conversation you're going to hear with God depends on the position that you're in around God. If you're close to him, you're going to start hearing what he's starting to say. If you're far away from him, you're going to not have a clue of anything that he's saying. When we decided to go with our city church, it was much prayer and it was much pushing me out of my comfort zone again. But she heard clearly. She heard clearly. This is where the directions that we need to go. Sometimes I'm telling you, we can get out of position. There is a movement coming. And it's different from anything that you're seeing or have seen. Who are the ones? Oh, y'all are going to love this. Who are the ones that God are going to use? Look at 1 Corinthians. For you see your calling. Who, me? You can just put that in there if you want to. And not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty and not many noble are called. I love it. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. Can I ask you, if you're in this room, are you a but God story? Are you a former addict, or you've been rejected and depressed and suicidal? Can I just tell you one thing? Those are the ones that God are going to use in the time he has. Because you know why? Because they're not trained, they're unschooled, they don't have a degree. I don't have a degree in this. God called me to do this. And they're not sure. They're walking by faith and not by sight. You know, so many times we try to figure it out, and God just said, if you'll just go, baby, I'll tell you where when you get there. And here's the biggest thing, the ones God's going to use. They're not tainted by religion. They're not tainted by what it's always been. They don't have a form of godliness and denying the power they're in. They won't realize they're doing it wrong according to what the church people say. Come on, traditions are telling them, oh, yeah, that'll never work. Well, let me tell you something. They told us 15 years ago, you can't start a youth church because it'll never make it, it'll never amount to anything. Thank you. Here's the thing, the ones he's going to use, they're not going to fit in, because the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. They're not going to be accepted. Nobody liked Jesus, hardly. Come on, think about it. He had thousands of people around him while he was healing, while he was doing all. As soon as, it says they all fled and scattered after that. Jesus was despised and he was rejected of men. So if you want to be called yourself a Christian, I'm going to tell you something this morning. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to come into line with you. You just have to be you and be Jesus. They're not going to conform to the normal average. You know, look, can I just tell you, an average is not acceptable. They're going to walk with real power. And it's going to hit the schools. Come on. It's already hitting the schools. It's hitting streets and neighborhoods and stores. Stores. That was the wrong one. I put an I in there. That wasn't. But why them? Why would God use them? 1 Corinthians 1:29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. That they couldn't look back and say, Richard did it. Mindy did it. Our city church did it. They're going to look back and say, man, it could only have been God. I got this vision. I'm not a big visionary. I don't have dreams, and I have dreams, but I'm just not one of those guys that has these big. But I had a vivid dream one night, and it looked like a large city was out there. It was really crystal clear to me, and there was a nameless, faceless object that appeared, and it started walking through the streets, and people were like the Pied Piper. People were coming out of buildings. They were coming out, and they were following. This it didn't have a face. We couldn't tell what it looked like. It was just like a blob. And it started flowing into the streets, and there was hundreds and thousands of people. They were going out to this building. They were moving out into the place right there, and it was taking them out to just nowhere, it seemed like. And God showed me what he was about to do. They said, there's not going to be a name on it. Come on. No man is going to get the glory for it. It wouldn't look like anything we've ever seen before, but there is a movement of God that's about to take over in this world, in this country. And listen, whenever we start seeing everything going to hell in a handbasket, that's when you can know that God's about to do something big. God is moving. He's alive. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's a movement coming, and if we don't get on board with the church with it, he's going to do it somewhere else. He's going to go outside the walls, and he's going to go out and find people that are willing to go the extra mile and do the things that they need to do. He's going to do it. Worship team, y'all can come up. We're either going to get on board with this, or we're going to look for the power that got away from us. Look at Isaiah 43:18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you know it? We have to be able to recognize it to know it, right? You have to accept what God is doing, and the church needs to go from having services to being a servant. I mean, it's so cliche to say that we need to be a hospital. We need to be a hospital for the broken. We have CR that meets here every Saturday night, 6:30. It's a hospital for the broken. We have inner healing that takes place all the time. God is doing some transformation in inner healing right now of people's lives. But you have to get on board with it. You have to start seeing this is where God's going. This is where we're going to take care of it. But it's not a social club. Many people like to come to church because of, and listen, hear what I'm not saying. I love church. I love y'all. I love people that come here. You're like, I know I can see my brother every Sunday. You know? I don't really sound like that. But I mean, we don't want it just to become a social club. This is a hospital for the lost, for the hurt, for the dying and the depressed. As I close with this, we have a physical sickness in our world. And when we have a physical sickness, we work really, really hard trying to get rid of that sickness, right? But can I tell you, sin has caused a sickness, and it's left us powerless. It's infected us. And can I tell you the difference between sin and a virus? Sin kills 100% of the time. But there's a remedy. There's a remedy for our sickness. There's a remedy for our situation. There's a remedy for our city, our nation, our world. There's an antidote to the poison of sin. His name is Jesus. There is no other way but Jesus. There is no other hope but Jesus. During COVID, we followed all the guidelines, didn't we? We did what we were supposed to do. We stood in line when we didn't want to stand in line. We distanced ourselves. We coughed into the plastic. We followed it, but we have a hard time following the biblical guidelines to spiritual sickness. Look at what Psalms 24 says. Who may ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? First thing we got to do is we got to go towards God, not away from God. We have to stand with God. Come on. It's going to get hard, y'all. I know this is heavy. This is going to get hard. It's going to get harder to come and assemble here. It's going to get harder because we're the minority anymore in the world we're living in. It's going to get harder. So I think we've got to get a lot of our battle gear ready to go and put our armor on. Verse 4. Here's the person. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, or means lying. We wash ourselves spiritually. We change our focus on the essential things. We have more time with him. That's what he's looking for. Can I just tell you, this could be the greatest opportunity to grow, to lead, to win, if we take advantage of it. We could miss out on it if we decided we're going to do the things that we want to do. Let's all stand if we would, please. This morning, as I said earlier in the thing, let's take a personal inventory. As we open up these altars, we ask if you've never accepted Jesus, we're going to say a prayer with you. We'll have a prayer team. But I'm asking you this morning to take a personal inventory of where you are with God. Because so many times, until we start weeding this out and pushing this out and moving this over, we can't really get to the place where God wants us to be. So this morning, as these altars open up, if you don't know Jesus Christ, that's the very first. And how you get an inventory with that is you come and you say, Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need you. I want you to have control of my life. I want you to be the Lord, and you sit on the throne of my life. And the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you can be saved. This morning, if you would like to make that choice, listen, the altars are going to be open. The prayer team is going to be on the left and the right. But I'm asking you this morning, as these altars are open, they get ready to sing this song, definitely, let's make an inventory of our lives. If you have to inventory your life on the back row, that's fine. But if you feel like God wants an inventory and you want to, there's something special. Can I just be honest with y'all? There's something special around this area for some. And if God is leading you to make that move forward and to come to Him, let's do that during this next song.
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.